So now we're going to change the subject and welcome Alexandra Bonnet with her topic talking about scanners. Alexandra was in the second Barbara Scher coaching training group in Frankfurt and is a scanner. Years of intercultural life experience were ideal preparation for her later interest in academic processes. Success in academia is more personal than you think. So let's be curious about her talk about Tale of Two Scanners. So it's up to you now, Alexandra.
Thank you very much, Astrid. Yes, finally moving on down our red thread to the scanner topics. And I'm not going to introduce myself now because you'll learn plenty about me the next 20 minutes. You can just relax. There's not going to be any more concentration on your goal just now. What a practical academic coach is, I will ask by, or I will tell you about just to get the chat. So is the handout in? Yes. Okay. So, I will explain by the end. And as far as the Barbara Scher coaching certificate is concerned, I just wanted to point out again that Barbara was a very hands-on coach. We definitely did not get a manual or too much clarity and structure from her at the beginning because she was a heck of a scanner. And I would have suggested for today to put in a little bit of her milestones or her timeline. And then I realized that, well, heck, I'm a scanner, she's a scanner. Why don't I just sort of combine them and how I jumped in there? And the whole point of this, of me explaining these phases, is that at the end, we won't be able to go through all of them, but I have them collected on the handout, is just to bring up some questions that you maybe have not found in some of these books. From my personal experience, what helped me to realize what I could do about being a scanner. So we're just going to jump right in there. I'm going to give you some of Barbara's milestones, which you might find interesting. And yeah, let's see where it takes us. Taking us nowhere. Oh, there we go. So Barbara is a couple of decades in front of me. And in 1953, in university, she cried at all her choices. Now, this comes out of the book Refuse to Choose in the prologue, where she starts off by saying, "I should have realized I wasn't a normal student my first week of college when I looked at the catalog of classes and started to cry." So Hayo's teaser had this a little bit about making yourself happy. And she didn't know what to do at that point because she saw everything. And her girlfriends, of course, are going, "Oh, no. Bachelor of Arts, we need this course and this course and this course, and what else matters?" But she wanted to take so many things, she didn't know what to do. And she also didn't know how to really study. She thought you could do it all. After much deliberation, she writes, "Each friend wrote in five or six classes." Oh, I signed up for 10, of course, right? I flunked five of them and barely passed the others. College really was a lot harder than high school. And to be honest, I couldn't understand why they kept having exams at all. It was quite enough to simply discover that there were so many astonishing things to learn about. And I'll get back to that, to my Discovery Channel about that. She wanted to grab all the candy that she had. As she mentions herself, fast forward many years, I moved into a different period in my life. She's all of a sudden, I mean, no use getting into the details. We just figured out. She said, "I'm twice divorced, single mother to two boys. I'm in New York City. I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts." I won't tell you what they called that when I was studying, because I studied something much more practical. But what would she do? She ended up sort of in a coaching situation, you could say, working then with people. So what did that bring her? That brought her, okay, I'm actually good with people. And why is it that when we're sitting in group work, group therapy, that it's happening, that people are being helped? It was sort of the beginning of her intuitive recognition that something was happening here that was good. You might know the story of Ronnie. If not, look it up on the internet or in her book. Ronnie got help with all his issues, although he was supposedly hopeless. But she developed and launched success teams in the 70s. And finally, in 1978, came out that amazing book, as we all know, Wishcraft. You know, it's still popular. I'm glad that it's online. I put the link in there to get the chapters for free, even work through it. It's just a classic. Oh, finally, I turn up here in 1978. I graduated high school. The reason that I'm even mentioning this now is because maybe we know, or maybe you know it, you have the feeling yourself, there are happy scanners and there can be frustrated scanners. And I'm a happy scanner, although I didn't even know I was a scanner till I was like about 50. And I think that I had just some lucky times in my life, and high school was one of them. High school, I was able to take some elective classes. It was, the Germans don't really know this, because if you're in a system in Germany where you're going to learn academics, then man, you know, you might get a little bit of let's say sports in your curriculum, but otherwise you're expected to do the rest of it, like music and things outside of school. And in Canada, in Toronto, where I grew up from grade 7 to grade 13, man, I was so happy. I learned how to, in school, learned how to sew, learned how to cook. I had metalworking, woodworking, and my auto mechanics. I learned everything about a car, but also I learned technical drawing. And then if you took that class, you could take architecture. So there I was, like 16, 17, thinking, man, that's cool. You know, designing a house, that was the year project, to design a house, draw all the plans, like in every possible angle, and then to make the model to go with it. And the reason I'm saying this is because these two pictures are in my hall right now. I have framed them. They were in some cellar. I think my brother's cellar, gathering dust for probably 20 years until I brought them with me to Germany, finally, where I'm living now. And the reason, other reason I want to show this is because everybody else was drawing little boxes, you know, the suburbs where we live. So there's this suburban house with three bedrooms and the two bathrooms. But I came up with this plan. I had soaring windows and chimneys and all sorts of stuff. And may have mentioned this before, I loved dogs, always loved this. My absolute passion in life is dogs since I was little. So of course I discovered, like 20 years later, at the age of 17, I had designed this house, drew it perfectly. I mean, I got an A on it, and the driveway came up past the house, past the three-car garage, and onto the kennels, which was almost as big as the house, and had room for, I don't know, like six Great Danes. Like, I don't know why. There's no way. I wouldn't even breed Great Danes today. But it was just reflected who I was at the time and where my heart was, you know. But I forgot it. I just forgot it. So the thing is, questions that you can ask yourself is, what has been your lifelong passion? And remember what I said before, what is the core of it? I didn't really want to breed them. I want to have them, but I thought I did. The difference between what you're good at and what you love, I'm sure you've heard that from Barbara before, and the early education. How much exposure did you get to these various fields? Maybe you have learned things that you didn't even know you did. But anyway, this house is just so good to have walk past almost every day to say, yeah, I was lucky back then. And I was so lucky that I went on to do an internship in an architectural office in grade 12, looked at all the little men sitting there on their boards doing this and thought, no, I can't do this. This is boring. And I don't even want to design a house for somebody else. I want to do my own. So I'm not going to become an architect. So we go on to 1989 to 2006, where Barbara had her most productive years. These were her milestones back then when she came out with TeamWorks, which is what the success teams were based on. 1994, I could do anything if I knew what it was, which was so important to find out even that I was a scanner. Live the life you love. It's only too late if you don't start now, which was also important to me, because you'll find out, when did I go back to university and refuse to choose the absolute manual to what do you do if you're a scanner, really practical stuff, which I loved. Now, I highlighted university and graduating high school at the same in red, because after high school, I obviously had to go on to university, because of course, if I love dogs my whole life, I said I'm going to be a veterinarian, and I wasn't dumb in high school, so everybody believed it, and I did as well until I reached university. And in kind of like Barbara, like, this is it, like math, physics, statistics, and endless chemistry, which I immediately failed because I had a boyfriend. But there was more important things in life, and I couldn't believe there were no electives. There was no, there was nothing. There was no sewing. There was nothing to, no. Okay, so I tried it the second year, and I just marginally got better. And there I was at 20, and I had to give up my life's dream, literally my life's dream. So I was shattered. I went home. I cried. My boyfriend broke up with me. I had nothing left in life that I knew what I was going to do. But I don't like wasting, you know, that university in North America costs money. My parents had helped out with so that I didn't have too much debt in the future. And I was always working like crazy in animal clinics to support myself as well. So I said, I can't do this. I'm going to go back to university and I'm going to finish that damn degree. And I'm going to be an Aggie. I was an Aggie, Bachelor of Science Aggie, coming from the suburbs of Toronto with no idea in hell about what I was going to do with it. But thank goodness life intervened because, well, you know, we're curious people, us scanners. So I ended up going to Germany. My mother's from Germany. So I went back to Germany to work, and I met a man. And that's where it gets really complicated here. So I'm just kind of fast forward, but I'll highlight at some point what's important about this phase. I graduated. He always wanted to work in developing countries. So I went to visit him in Togo. I basically left Canada, never realizing I would never go back. Togo is in West Africa. I didn't even know. I thought it was Tonga at first. I mean, I learned so much over those years. I was such an innocent suburban Toronto girl. It's incredible when I think back. But anyway, so I got married in Togo, and then we lived in Frankfurt for a year, but we didn't like it. So like within a few months, he got a job in Tunisia. So of course, my first idea is great. We're going to go live in the Mediterranean. So we need a Rottweiler. So I bought a Rottweiler puppy and I took it. We went to Tunisia and I trained it for 2 years. So it would be a perfect member of society, protected us. Of course, I never had any problems walking with Muslim men because they wouldn't, surprisingly enough, bother a woman with a Rottweiler. And I had kids. I said, okay, let's start a family. I'm not going to work here. Let's start a family. I was pregnant. I breastfed. And my kids were born in Tunis. I didn't even leave. We went through a coup after the first child. We went through the Gulf War after the second child, when we were the only blonde people left in town. It was a bit dangerous. So anyway, what am I saying? Around that whole time, there was no internet. There was nothing else to do except figure out what to do, like to live and get to know Mediterranean food or seasons or how to cook and all these international people. And specifically what happened is I discovered that I had to speak French and German and English all day long to different, like even my dog, I trained my dog in German, and my kids, I wanted to keep bilingual. So I only spoke English to them, and I spoke French to my cleaning lady and then whatever to my husband, and everybody would be different all day long. So it was a 7-year experience. And what I want to say about that point, that time, is that being a scanner, I didn't even realize that living there was like my full-time job, because I was always thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I'm not working. But I'm in Africa. I can't work anyway. So I thought I was always sloughing off. But this will come in handy at some day. So we moved back to Germany to let the kids into German school. And my husband went off for up to at least 140 days a year on short-term assignments, only in developing countries. And I was left here to make sure that the house was built. And eventually the computer age was coming, and I was talking all the time to my girlfriends because I was learning through my husband. He was self-employed. So we had these big computer boxes, if you recall, and the community school courses were just starting up here. And, you know, my family was saying to me, can you not earn some money finally, but you're talking on the phone all the time to your friends? So I did. I came up with my own course. And the reason that that's important was that was the first time that I said to myself, but I don't want to go teach in a cold school in some evening. And I can't even leave my kids alone. So I came up with my own concept and sold it to the community school. And I did that for 3 years. Okay, what's the question? Do you really need further education? Are you interested, or can you do it yourself? Well, I tried doing it myself. It was very low key. And I discovered that I needed to finally 40-ish update my qualifications and sort of arrive in Germany. So I decided to do a master's because I didn't even know the master's existed yet in Germany. They had switched from their own system to the European system of bachelor's and master's. And hell, and this is, I think, what we've been saying about resources, talents, whatever. I talked myself into letting the university start a master's program in information management with a 20-year-old agriculture degree. It's a long story. I know how it happened. But when Astrid came up with the list of money, time, education, maybe your family won't agree. Don't forget, there's no tuition fees in Germany. So I was ready to take it was a leap. It was a leap of faith, but I was ready to do it because it wasn't going to involve money. The time, I felt it was necessary for me to do it. And the family, of course, they didn't agree, but it came down to it. What is the core? What is the core of the goal? I need to show to people in Germany that I'm more than a Hausfrau, which is like one of the worst names that they've invented for women in this world. And my only problems were fear of failing and the logistics of not providing appropriate services to my family, which was simply used to having me around. So I thought, okay, no risk, no money, no risk. It's my time. I can live on 5 hours of sleep a night. So I did it. And that's how it took me double the time. A lot of bad things happened. A lot of good things happened. That's one of the things. If you want the outcome, get bored, make the content more enjoyable. I didn't even have to do that. It was so fascinating. And it was a great experience. And there I was, and I had a master's. In the meantime, Barbara had developed many things. She did her books. I can see that sort of as a scanner. Oh, you want to know this stuff? And I wrote it all down. There it is. You know, she'd say, you can go right. Loved her. New York, straight, no bullshit woman. She had developed Write Speak for people who wanted to write a book and speak about it later then to further their career. She had retreats in, I believe, New York and in France. She developed hanging out, little bits of information. She also started the online book clubs, take the books, work through them. In this point, I was going through my several university jobs, which I had contracts on, of course. And finally, at the age of, 50 something, I hit the jackpot, but it took me years to realize it, because one of the jobs that I was given, because of course I didn't have enough to do and I'm a scanner. So I had started a PhD thinking, well, I can do this. Well, yeah, I could do it. Like maybe I could do it up here, but the logistics didn't give that to me. So I tried for years to get to make progress, but they thought since I was enrolled that the interdisciplinary PhD center at my university would hire me to do something. They had money for something called a tutorial for international PhD students. So they had no idea what I should do. They just said, go figure it out. And the people will send the people to you once a month. And that's basically what I started from years and years ago. And it worked. It worked because why? Because I could speak three languages. Oh, I mean, like all of a sudden, this all came together. I had enormous intercultural experience. I understood. I'm not saying I'm an expert, my God, but I had some inklings of, the African, West African mindset and the issues then dealing with the Muslim world. I had experienced those up close. And I was a woman, which actually made people open up to me more. I would say that I'm a bit sympathetic, empathetic, whatever you want to call it. I just simply understood because what I realized is their problems aren't academic, actually. These are people between 25 to 40 who have personal problems. They have issues that they wanted to deal with. And that's what led me to get to become a practical academic coach. This is after I discovered the book that I found out that I was even a scanner. In the meantime, Barbara is teaching coaches in Frankfurt. And then I discovered her. So I did the 2013 coaching. And she gave me the backup because I said to her, well, I have this idea And I think, and I mean, I've been doing it for years, and I think I'm a good coach to help people get their degree done, master's or PhD. But I'm not able right now anyway to finish the PhD myself. And I don't think the Germans will accept me if I don't have the appropriate qualification. And of well, you can imagine what Barbara said, like, well, to hell with them. I mean, are you doing the job? It's an instinctive thing. She says, like, if you're are you helping people? And I said, well, yes, they're you know, they say I'm helping. And she said, well, then just do it and to hell with what other people say. And her attitude, of course, led others to recommend her for a TEDx talk in Prague, which we're all happy and thrilled that she finally did, As I said for years, oh no, I mean, somebody who's doing a PhD doesn't have time to read a book. But of course I started to write a book because there was just so much of it. And I thought, I don't like to leave it unfinished. So it's still in the process. And what happened though, unfortunately, in that process is that Barbara died. I don't think she was planning to. I don't think she really wanted to. She would have loved to go on to 100. I mean, she was just so important for so many people. And she just tried to leave as much of a legacy as she could. And yeah, we have to deal with whatever's left here. As we've said before, we've been trained personally by Barbara, and there is no plans right now that actually that gets passed on. There's only thing we can do is pass on her methods and the things that we learned from her. And the other thing that I learned is after she died, as you know, we all went into lockdown. And my dog up and died in the first week of the lockdown. And I was doing as what happened, whether it was the internet and the email before, then for beginners back then with the community school, I all of a sudden was helping people because everybody wanted a dog. I wanted a dog. It took me a year and a half to find the right puppy. But that brought me into dog coaching, is find the right breed for you, because if that doesn't match, you can often end up with a problem dog. So I've put a sheet together that basically, I think that finishes up. Yes, that finishes up all our sort of our two lives and how they interacted. I'm sure you have your own timeline. It's amazing how it worked out, who found which book or which seminar or which Facebook page or whatever. And we are thrilled to be able to pass this on to you. Scanners are complicated people sometimes, but we just love life so much. And the enthusiasm then goes down to our clients, hopefully, to help them to realize their dreams. Because that's really all that Barbara ever wanted. She said, where's my happy space? You know, where is it? Learning, obviously. But she didn't want to do it in a more structured way. She wanted to talk to you and sometimes to bore into your, whether it was your childhood or your dream or what is it or whatever, just to try and get you one step farther and then to offer the support. And we still have a little bit of time till the end of the day. We'll be presenting, I'll be doing an idea party, and we will be presenting a cover, like all the methods that we can think of to help you move forward on that goal. So I hope you enjoyed it, and keep working. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Alexandra, very much for this private personal story and the life of a scanner.
Thank you. Yeah, like I said, it's not to highlight. I've had an interesting life. That's all very nice. But it's what I pulled out of it. And I'm sure so many of you have had such interesting lives that there's something in there that you can dig out, and maybe a couple questions will help you. And that's part of how to get, what are you lugging around in either the luggage or the good experience to help you get towards your goals? You've got it.
Oh, important question. What is a scanner? Sorry that we are laughing, because there are so many scanners here in the room, but Alexandra will make a brief explication. And the manual for scanners in German is Du musst dich nicht entscheiden, wenn du tausend Träume hast, or in English, refuse to choose. This is really a game changer if you don't know yet that you're a scanner.
Yeah. And I found it out of I Could Do Anything. It's one chapter of I Could Do Anything, If I Only Knew What It Was. And the chapter basically said, I have so many interests. It's a person who has a lot of interests And it's very, there's different types of scanners that are outlined in the book, Refuse to Choose. I'm sorry, like that was the most basic question, wasn't it? Didn't cover that. There was a handout on that yesterday. Yeah.
You can read it in the handout, yeah.
That's right. But it's also often tied into just an incredible thirst for knowledge. That is basically what it is. And it keeps making you poking in different places. And like I said, sometimes then people are not happy because they don't necessarily finish.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the question. So thank you, Alexandra, again. So please keep an eye on the chat and on the handouts. You find lots of resources there.